All right, recordings are started. Brendan, go ahead. Take it away.
Good deal. Okay. All right, well, I will start our Wednesday, January 19th meeting, starting with roll call here. Brendan Addis, present. Matthew Jones.
Present.
Michelle Gertz.
Present.
Roger.
I'm here.
Happy to have you. Jeff?
Here.
Happy to have you as well with us now. Marie? I saw Marie a second ago. Marie, are you out there still?
She's there. I can see.
Okay.
I can see her.
Audio is not clicking in, but for the record, Marie is here. Sandra? And Josh? I don't have a participant screen in front of me. Is Josh Seeds here today?
I can see his name. The little mute symbol's on. He may also be having some audio issues, but he is apparently in the meeting.
Okay. And Robert?
Yes.
All right. I think you all get a lot of new faces in our virtual world today, so happy to have you all in meeting with us. And we'll be circling around a little bit on that, I think, with more formality.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Thanks, Josh. So we'll circle back around on that with some formality, but I would like to take a minute, if we could, real quick, for our newest members to just introduce themselves a little bit to the rest of the group and quick introduction into your background and name, and welcome you onto the team. We'll start just from the same order of the attendance there. Roger, if you want to go first.
Hi, I'm Roger Haugie, and I'm really happy to be joining with you. I retired in 2016 and moved here because my granddaughters live across the river. I've been working in Lacamas Watershed for about the last 2 years on a phytoplankton monitoring network project. I love this area. It's kind of cool. And my wife and I are quite happy in living in Washougal. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Jeff.
Hi, my name's Jeff Kesnick. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I did engineering on computer chip technology for about 30 years. I'm retired from that. Still active, tutoring math at the high schools here locally in Vancouver. And I do some GIS part-time for different organizations. Mostly I volunteer a lot of my time these days, do a lot of tree planting, care, pruning type things. Involve a lot of removing invasive species and helping with stream restoration and removing litter as of late. There's apparently a lot of litter around. And I help a lot with this with the City of Vancouver, Clark Public Utilities, and other various nonprofits in the area. Glad to be on board.
Happy to have you. And Robert.
Pleased to join you as well. My name is Robert Schroest. I'm a retired wildlife biologist. The past 20 years or so, I was the chief migratory bird biologist. I have spent time as a university professor. I have the Wisconsin tie as well. My master's and PhD degrees are from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I look forward to working with all of you and learning more about current watersheds in this county.
Great. And I'm going to need to jog my own memory. I'm missing this partly because I was on the interview for Sandra, so I remember Sandra's background. And we've had several meetings that Sandra's been able to attend, but not officially a member. So forgive me if I'm not remembering if we did a formal group introduction for you, Sandra, as well.
Yeah, we did last fall, but I'm happy to refresh everyone's memory. Good evening, everyone. I'm Sandra Martin-Bame. I have been long-time Clark County resident. I live out in rural Richfield on a small farm, and I work as a project manager and the director of business intelligence for CTRAN, our local transportation agency, and love that and have been there for quite some time. I also have a university background, and worked at two universities in Portland, but I got my master's degree from Missouri State. So very happy to be joining this and representing my community and the county as a whole.
Thank you. And I know Sandra's had an opportunity to meet everybody before, but I'd like to continue with a brief introduction for the other board members, for those members who are new to the group today. The three gentlemen that were new to the team, you met me during the process, Brendan Addis, chair, living in the Washougal area as well, also a big fan of that. I agree with you, Roger. And I work for the Clark Conservation District, also have a background in restoration ecology and environmental education that is kind of what I tried to bring to the team for the conversation. I will pass it over to another familiar face for you, Matthew.
Yeah, welcome to our newest members. Hi, everybody. My name is Matt Jones. Been a Clark County resident for 22 years, something like that. Live in rural Richfield, although I'm not sure I can say the rural so much anymore, as a lot of farmland has changed in those 21 years. I've got 25 years of background involved in public service, both as a frontline worker. Last 15 years, I've spent doing public sector consulting. Also have a university background, was a university professor in public administration for about 10 years as well. Serving as the vice chair this year, so I am really excited to do that, along serving under Brendan, who's just been a fantastic chair.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Michelle.
Well, you're the only one who's been willing to do it also, actually. Just kidding.
Kind of forced back into the role.
Indeed. Hi, I'm Michelle Gertz, and those who've just come on, I was on the interview panel as well. My background is in constructive wetlands and water quality, and also natural wetlands, ecosystem restoration. My training is both at Portland State and also back east, where I went to West Virginia University and developed treatment wetlands for acid mine drainage treatment. I live in the Salmon Creek drainage and right at the border, the growth management boundary was on the other side of us initially, and within the last 10 years, we've seen considerable growth along with that, changes in stormwater flow paths, changes in subsurface flow paths, which have affected quite a few ecosystems and led to some flooding problems in some areas. So, welcome. Glad to have your ideas and have you with us.
Thank you, Michelle. Marie.
Since you shared his screen, my little icons disappeared, so. Hi, I'm Marie Lamano. I've been on the commission since 2015. I have a background in forestry, finance, and currently working in wastewater. My passion is public outreach. Enjoy educating young people, everyone, giving talks and being teaching the public, you know, what is wastewater and how we can all improve. So that's been pretty exciting over the past years. And welcome new members. Be exciting, and hopefully we can meet in person sometime this year, because it's a great team to work on.
Thank you. Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh Seeds. I work for the state of Oregon at the Department of Environmental Quality. In water quality, I work in drinking water protection and forestry on that end. Like apparently everyone else on the commission currently, I've also done a little college teaching as an adjunct in my case on forest ecology. And I also sit on the fire commission for East County Fire and Rescue, the the fire district in the Washougal Camas area on the north side, the rural area. So welcome to all the new members, and also, Marie, I hope that things pass by enough this year that we can meet you in person.
Here, here. Okay, I think I've gotten through the list. I still haven't gotten my head around certain members not being here anymore yet. New body. Justin, would you take a quick minute to do a brief introduction for yourself as well, since you've been a part of the team and now in the manager position?
Yeah. So I'm Justin. I know I was part of the interview panel for the new members, aside from Sandra, because when she interviewed, it was just as I was transitioning from being a member of the Clean Water Commission to being Clean Water Division Manager. Odd enough time. My wife and I moved into this area in March 2018. It's a little bit hard to believe it's been almost 4 years now. I've been saying it's 3 years for the last year, and suddenly now it's four, and that's still just blows me away that the last year passed by this quickly. My background is mostly water resources and hydrology and hydraulics. I went to UCLA, was in their civil engineering program, and started out like all the other civils, thinking I was going to do structures and geotech, and I decided I wasn't that into that, and ended up landing in water resources. And my master's was at Stanford, and it was environmental fluid mechanics and hydrology, which is also where I met my wife, Michelle, who was also on the commission until her term ended December 31st. She was in their environmental engineering and science program, so... Yeah, we didn't really have anything tying us to the Bay Area. Wife had extended family up here, and the company that she worked for had a big office here, and so this is where we landed. We've been really happy with it. Echo what a couple of people have said about living in this area. It's been really great. We've really enjoyed it. So, yeah, professionally, I ended up, when we moved here, I worked for PBS Engineering and Environmental, and kind of took a background that was more heavily master planning and floodplain work and things like that, stormwater infrastructure design, and applied that to supporting transportation projects, designing stormwater facilities and utilities. Worked a little bit in restoration, did plenty of walking along Johnson Creek in Gresham, looking at what kind of restoration opportunities there might have been down there, and you know, then I landed where I am now at the county, and I've been here for, again, hard to believe, 6 months. So that's me.
We're happy to have the Maynard clan in the county.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. No Connor attending tonight. The 6 month old is going through his, very, at this point, religious bedtime routine. So I may have to run away for a minute and help my wife with that during this meeting, but.
Yeah, for those new board members, we've been watching the Maynards multiply this last year, so it's a new member. Eric is going to be doing the staff liaison report in a little, or education outreach report in a little bit, but Eric, if you want to take a quick second to introduce yourself, because you're always an integral part of our meetings as well.
Sure, yeah, nice to meet the new members, and my name is Eric Lambert, and I work for Clark County Public Works, and in the Community Engagement and Inclusion Division, I'm the Stormwater Outreach Specialist. And so been working for the county for a little over 5 years, been working in Clark County for about 10 years. Prior to this, I worked for WSU Extension in a Watershed Stewards Program and also a Small Acreage Program. Just like everyone else here, I really like it here. And yeah, I love exploring the trails and getting out there and talking to people about things that they can do to protect our watersheds.
Awesome. Well, we'll be hearing more about that in a little bit. Thank you, Eric. Getting into the rest of the agenda, I am seeing our typical approval of minutes and thinking that since we don't have those before us, that will need to be tabled. So we will be pushing that one along. I also am assuming you don't have any public comments that have been submitted.
None that I know of. I know, like I said, we kind of had to call an audible this morning on this, and I think if there had been public comments, Alice probably would have given me a heads up, given that there normally are not. I think it's safe to assume that there have not been any. If I am mistaken, we will make sure they're discussed at the next meeting.
Right on. Thank you. Appreciate that. So moving into the Clean Water Division updates, I'm going to pass it back to you, Eric, if you want to give us the latest news.
Yeah, great. For the past, I don't know how many meetings, at least maybe eight of them, I've said we're working on these stormwater facility maintenance resources, and now I'm going to say we've completed all of our deliverables for these stormwater facility maintenance resources. I'm just finishing up the final review of the final report, and before I send it over to you, Justin. And so that feels good to get all those materials up there on the Stormwater Partners website. And for the new members, I do encourage you to check out. I'll drop a link in the chat, our Stormwater Partners webpage. I'm pretty happy with how the resources turned out, and really look forward to kind of this next year of inspections to get them utilized and out in the field, and hopefully they're a big help to folks. Another thing that kind of launched this week, or actually last week, I guess technically, was our student video contest. It's called the Students for Clean Water Video Contest, where we invite students in Clark County, grades 6 to 12, to make a video about one of the themes that we have on the website, and they can actually win $500 cash or $100 cash for a honorable mention prize. We had these prizes donated by some local engineering firms because it's just hard for public agencies to give away money like that. So it was great to have this kind of public-private partnership, great to get their sponsorship. And we're really excited to see the videos that the students come up with, which will also hopefully have some more opportunities this year to display them publicly. So if you know someone in that 6th to 12th grade age range, make sure that you pass that along to them. Again, you can find all that on the Stormwater Partners website. I'll drop a link, like I said, in the chat. Last year, 2 years ago, as you know, some of you might know, we also created a story map called Explore Your Watershed, like my background here. And so last year I gave a presentation for Odyssey Middle School on the story map to their students, a few grades in the, I think in 7th grade, a number of classes. And so they asked me to do that again this year. I did that, and it was good to kind of get back with the school and to also utilize the story map. Kind of following up on that story map, we'll be kind of building on that later this year with some stream health report stuff. So I'll be sure to report out that in coming meetings. And then we'll be restarting planning for the next phase of our Petways Behavior Change program. And we'll be starting up kind of some planning for that with our partners in Battleground, Camas, and Washougal in the coming weeks. We'll also be restarting the final year of our Don't Drip and Drive program, which is another Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board grant project that had been on hold for the past 2 years just due to challenges, you know, around COVID. COVID distancing requirements. So we'll be finishing up that grant this year with the Watershed Alliance, kind of doing the boots on the ground work for that. So I'm excited to continue working with them to meet all of those deliverables. For those of you that aren't familiar, the Don't Drip and Drive program is a community-based social marketing program trying to help drivers fix vehicle leaks. There's some incentive programs there. There's a suite of marketing materials to encourage people to take their car to a number of shops around Clark County that offer free leak inspections and also offer a discount on on vehicle leak fixes. So we'll be looking forward to having the Watershed Alliance conduct some more leak check events, and also looking at having them also hold a couple of workshops too. Also, last year we finished up a project, I'm saying last year, but it's really 2 years ago. In 2020, we finished up a project to replace a lot of our watershed signs, that had been out on the street for, you know, over 20 years. We're looking, in pretty rough shape if they were even still standing. So we replaced a bunch of those, signs in almost all of our watersheds, except for the East Fork, Lewis, and the North Fork. Those watersheds were not eligible under the grant. But we did intend to continue that project of replacing those other signs. And so, in the coming weeks, I'll be continuing to, or starting to kind of inventory those signs in those two watersheds, and we'll be replacing those signs this year as well. So I'm looking forward to finishing up that project as well. And then for my work with the Clean Rivers Coalition, and for those of you who don't know, the Clean Rivers Coalition is primarily an Oregon-based group of jurisdictions and organizations, agencies working in the clean water, stormwater world. And and so they asked me to be on their steering committee because they do a lot of work in the Portland metro region. And we share their media shed. And so, you know, they were very thoughtful to reach out, understanding that, when they're doing messaging in mass media, then, it's also covering all of our region as well. So, we've been working on a grant that they received from the EPA 2 years ago to target, to reduce pesticide use in lawns. This was an EPA grant for the Lower Columbia pesticide reduction program. So we've been working on a website and also some videos, and the videos are nearly done. I wish I could share them with you now, but they're in their final phase of review. But I'm really excited about them. I think they're going to be really good. The website's also looking good. And those deliverables, it's just nice to, you know, whenever you're working on a project that, you know, is more than a year, it feels really good to start seeing the deliverables, out there. And then also they'll be holding their, Clean Rivers Coalition Forum in mid-spring. The date's not set yet, but when it is, I'll be sure to, send an invite to everyone here. Y'all would be welcome to attend and learn more about, what they've been up to. And I think that's what I've got. Does anyone have any questions for me about any of the stuff I've been working on?
Yeah, I just wondered if most of the materials and the links that back these up are on the website, the Clean Water website, so... our new people can access them there.
The links for...
Well, for information, for example, about the Don't Drip and Drive, or the map and so forth.
Yeah, those are on the Clean Water website. But like I said, it's a lot easier to get to them just through the Stormwater Partners website. So I'd encourage people to go there. You know, the county website is kind of like a lot of government websites where, you know, it's not quite as easy to navigate, but the information is there. So, that's another good place to look as well.
All right. Not hearing any other questions. Thank you as always, Eric. I think we're going to have a pretty abbreviated meeting this evening, but I don't know if you're wanting to stick around for any more of it. If not, we can let you get on with your evening.
Yeah,
Yeah, you know, I do kind of want to stick around for, I would like to hear what Matt Jones has to say about that. I saw that Pet Waste is on the agenda. So I'll stick around for that, and then I'll probably be checking
out. Eric, I can make this real short for you. Matt Jones doesn't have anything to say about Pet Waste. That's a holdover on the agenda from when you first started talking about this, and we had an initial conversation a long time ago. So it needs to be removed from the agenda. So okay. Matt Jones has no involvement in Pet Waste, to his knowledge.
Thanks, Matt. Well, anyway, I checked the chat here. I just posted the Stormwater Partners website. You can see a whole bunch of stuff there, from the video contest to the facility maintenance materials, our Canines for Clean Water program. So if you're interested in our outreach stuff, most of it is conducted through the Stormwater Partners. For those of you who don't know, the Stormwater Partners is a group of, the core of the group is really the permittees in Clark County. You know, that's City of Vancouver, Kamloops, Washougal, and Battleground, in addition to the county. But our broader group, we also incorporate the other, agencies and nonprofits and organizations that kind of work in that space as well. So, one of the goals is to really have these consistent materials and consistent messaging throughout our different local jurisdictions, and Stormwater Partners is a great way to do that. So a lot of our education and outreach material is really through that website.
Great. Switching hats real quickly, Eric, I'll be in touch with you soon regarding Pet Waste on more of the Poop Smart campaign kicking off soon. So.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
Coming weeks, you'll hear from me on that.
Great. All right, well, good night, everyone.
Thanks, Eric.
Good night, Eric. Thank you.
Good night.
All right, Justin, do you have a manager's report?
Yeah, I figured I'd start with just the org chart, which I realized I have not actually gotten back into this to update it. The reason I wanted to show this was for the new members, in case some of you aren't familiar with how this division is structured. There's essentially, on the stormwater side of things, we're sort of lopped in half here. We've got the stormwater side of things, on the left of, Andrea and Eric here, and to the left. And then over here on the right, we actually do currently operate the Salmon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant. That is we'll call it at this point a short-lived arrangement. We've been operating it for a long time. The county has. I say we, but I've only been around since July. The county has operated this plant for a long time. There's a long detailed history that I won't really dive into with the formation of the Discovery Clean Water Alliance, and Marie Lamana's employer is actually involved in that as well, Clark Regional Wastewater District. To make things short, operation of this plant is actually going to be handed over to Clark Regional Wastewater District. At this point, it just made sense to go that route. They already operate Ridgefield, and they have the resources to really streamline operations of the plant, provide the staffing levels that are needed out there. So one of the things that's going to happen to this org chart pretty soon here is that this wastewater operations piece of it will disappear on the county side of things. I'm really heavily involved in that transition process, and our new HR director is getting his feet wet in it 2 weeks into his tenure with the county. On the other side of things, the stormwater side of things, Andrea recently, as part of a reorganization, moved into the division, or the Public Works Department's finance division. Eric, I'm sure some of you were maybe slightly surprised to hear him say that he was not part of the clean water division. He actually moved into our communications group in Public Works. And the reasoning behind that, they are both still effectively doing essentially 100% clean water work. It was really, that bit of the reorg was to really give them better tools. Andrea in the finance world and Eric in the outreach and communications world. and sort of unify public works across all of our divisions, because we also have roads, fleet, transportation, finance, and I'm forgetting parks. So some other divisions were also affected by that reorganization. I still see these people as part of Clean Water. My new org chart actually has them still on it up here as Public Works Department support. So you just heard from Eric. Like I said, he's still 100% involved in Clean Water. Over here we've got Jeff. Most of you know Jeff. Some of you, you know, he was essentially interim division manager while I was still a Clean Water commissioner, and he was coming to these meetings regularly. I love working with Jeff. He manages our infrastructure and monitoring groups. So our NPDES permit has a bunch of requirements on capital improvement programming and completing projects. And Jeff also coordinates pretty heavily with our operations crews to keep our publicly owned stormwater facilities well maintained. That's a big important piece of what he does. And while those staff are not actually in our division, we have a water quality, a drainage, and I forget the name of the third crew over in Rhodes that do that work for us. The monitoring crews, they meet other permit requirements. They also collect an absolutely enormous amount of data. And Marley, with some help from others, puts together our stream health report, which we're working to update right now. Marley was just on maternity leave, so that project sort of, we hit the pause button on it, but she's back now and the stream health report's being updated. I think we're shooting for completing that and having it go to council for a work session in April, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been March. Get these dates mixed up. Over here we've got Rod. So our privately owned facilities in the county, those are all inspected by Carrie and Rich here, with some help from Bob. Bob also heads up our source control efforts. So he visits various businesses and does his inspections on businesses and their source control programs. He also responds to complaints to Ecology about spills, things like that. So Rod here also is responsible for putting together our annual report, which we're in the thick of right now. Under the permit, the annual report needs to be done and submitted by March 31st. And that includes reporting from all across the county. I won't go too much into detail on that. He also was hugely responsible for putting together our, newly updated 2021 stormwater manual. So that's sort of the crash course in the division. Up here, Alice, I think everybody here knows Alice. We have some really great office assistants. Sabra has actually also, as part of the reorg, relocated in the management structure at least, to be more central to public works. But again, she still leans heavily into clean water as far as her workload goes. And then we actually do have a code enforcement officer. He responds to wetland and grading code violations, erosion control violations, things like that. So, you know, again, I wanted to pull this up and sort of show the new members how our division is structured, since it's a pretty important piece of the way that all of us get our work done. I mentioned that we internally within Clean Water inspect private facilities. The crews that I mentioned earlier not only maintain, but they also inspect the publicly owned facilities through the year. So, you know, that's the crash course. I don't know if anybody has any questions about how the division itself operates, for those of you that are newer to this. It's an enormous...
The details are fairly deep, and sometime it would be very nice to wade into some of those things as it pertains to individual watersheds.
Yeah, and you know, I think over my time in the Clean Water Commission, members of the our staff that you just saw in that org chart have come through and done various presentations about what they do and where they do it. I think something that would be pretty interesting is with the Stream Health report coming, if you know, our monitoring group came in and did a presentation for you guys, because it would show, I mean, we've got maps somewhere, I'm sure, that show where the data we collect is. And the other thing that Rod is doing right now is part of the permit is sub-basin planning, which is, you know, really, we've gone through a whole process of prioritizing sub-basins and understanding which ones have the most growth potential in them. And, you know, it's really kind of starting to take a deep dive into those and looking at modeling them and understanding if the requirements of the permit are truly enough on their own to protect water quality in those basins. So that could become an interesting presentation this year. And this is actually a topic later on in our agenda, is what presentations are you guys interested in? So we'll get there in a minute. And I think, again, for those of you who are new, it's kind of important to see that org chart and understand what the division does and what kind of presentations can be given through the year. So,
Birth newbies, it might be helpful to kind of lay out how the commission interacts with, say, the Stream Health Report. How do we work with that sort of thing, build projects, whatever we do? And because I really don't know.
So throughout all those, the process of developing reports like that, you know, we'll have drafts get finished up, and Alice is generally pretty good about distributing those to the commission for them to, for the members to review and give us feedback and their thoughts on those sorts of documents. So, again, I mean, we're right now, I think Marley's kind of getting back into the groove of, pulling all the data together and running the statistics on it and starting to develop that report this year. So, again, I mean, I can talk to Jeff more. The other product that Jeff produces is our 6-year capital plan, which often gets circulated through this group. The stormwater management plan that Rod produces gets circulated through this group, you know, each time that gets updated. So, the annual report to ecology is not terribly interesting. It's something that I'm sure we could provide to you, but they've moved to a very, call it performance oriented prescriptive set of requirements. That's really just lots of yes or no questions. And how many facilities did you inspect and things like that. There's certain, considerations right now that I know, I forget what we were talking about recently, but our stormwater management plan is the larger document that sort of discusses all of our efforts, which I think the previous version of that is posted somewhere. If it's not, I can distribute it at some point or have Alice get that out to you. There's certain pieces of that that I think we're talking about making a little bit more detailed. So that's kind of the products, the outward facing products that the division produces each year that, again, usually get distributed to this group.
Hey, Roger, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm assuming, like others, that a lot more of this will become clearer to me over time. I do have a couple of questions, and the first involves your data gathering effort. Seems relatively substantial. The sampling actually dictated by the state such that all counties do this the same way?
I don't believe that's necessarily the case. In some aspects, I think our team kind of does go above and beyond. And frankly, the recent efforts in streamlining how we collect and analyze data is a really, really cool example of that. We just moved, we use Aquarius to manage all that data, and we just moved to the cloud version of that. And it takes all of that real-time data and it makes it a lot easier to manage. That's another thing that we might want to consider presenting to you guys at some point. Is we just got through with that migration, and Ben Joner, one of our monitoring staff, is really, really diving heavily into how all of that newer software works. There's lots of built-in statistics and means of filling in data gaps. It's very cool. He was talking to us about it at one of our recent staff meetings, and I have a feeling that would be a really interesting presentation for you guys to see and understand how we manage all of that data.
Bob, I don't know if you
have
a follow-up question.
The other question I would have,
sorry, Bob, your audio is breaking up there.
He turned the audio off. That may well.
I don't know if
the other
there
question
you go.
Was what role did you and your staff play permit issuance for wetland work?
So as far as permit issuance, we don't really play too much of a role in that. We are more in, I'll say, in the business of permit compliance for the county. So the county is given an NPDES permit, or we are a permittee, designated by the Department of Ecology. We are a phase one based on the population of the county and the size of the MS4 and all of that. So, our overarching goal really is to meet the requirements of that NPDES phase one's municipal stormwater permit. That's the brief answer. I mean, Marie.
So Justin, I think you might have been talking about wetland permits. And, you know, we can, if we have trouble asking questions, we can put them in the chat too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelle. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, and wetland and habitat permitting is actually done elsewhere in public works. Actually, you know, frankly, it's not in public works. It's in community development. Because it's Brent's crew that takes care of that, generally. Even the work that we do is actually subject to their review sometimes. And a great example is recently, what came up is vegetation on fence lines in the county. There's some trees that are actually at this point have been deemed threats to property, because, you know, there's some risk to them falling over, and our staff are relatively aggressively trying to navigate the process of getting to those trees to get the problem taken care of. The problem with that is that when some of the subdivision development happens in the county, there's no defined setback between a fence line and the wetland buffer. So in many cases, the fence is sitting right on the edge of the wetland buffer, and that means that anything that we do in there is subject to our habitat and wetland codes. So funny enough, we don't take much part in the issuance of those sorts of permits, but the work that we do is often actually subject to those processes. And much of that falls under exemptions. It's just kind of about navigating, you know, using those exemptions and really finding a way to, you know, it's avoidance and mitigation is what it comes down to. Minimizing our impact, but still getting those problems taken care of.
Real quick, and Sandra, I'll come back. I know you had something. I just wanted to say real quick for particularly the new members that a little background for the commission's history. When I came on board, it was kind of a hit the ground running. There was not a lot of background explanation, and it took me about a year to understand what was going on at all. We have, in that time since, really done a lot of work of putting together the commission structure, the mission objectives. And the next thing that's going to be coming up in a bit of our conversation later today, and Roger, you mentioned this during your interview, I made a note, I think, of being something great to incorporate, is more of the training and the introduction that happens for new members, because there is still this system of kind of like, we're going along with our agenda as usual, and you come in and are listening and trying to figure out what's going on and who's connected to who. So it's a very good point on the background needing to be explained more in depth. It's something I've got on the agenda for later today for our working groups to dig into a little bit more of like that training background. So I just want to make that statement because I know we're like diving right into a whole bunch of stuff today.
That is one of the reasons that I wanted to mention all of this.
Well,
Sorry, what did you say, Roger?
I think that training will make us all a lot more effective.
Yes, agreed on that. I didn't want to skip over Sandra. You had a comment a bit ago.
I just wanted to return to the offer to share some insight into how you're managing and storing the data. I think in the education process, giving us the opportunity to see not only the types of data that you're storing, but how you're storing that, type of analytics that you're using, I think that's another avenue that really just helps elevate our understanding of, one, what do we do on the public-facing side, but how do we take all of that information and how are we using that internally? I appreciate that offer.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm thinking right now, both on the training topic and all of these questions in depth, if perhaps for the sake of time this evening, if I can encourage everybody to come up with that list of things that you would be interested in getting a deeper dive on, email myself and Justin and Alice, and we can incorporate that into the agendas for the coming meetings. And also it'll touch on our topic of like presentations coming up, because there's a whole lot of subjects that it can take a good amount of time to discuss that I think would be great to cover.
Yeah. And I think, one of the things that I like saying about this group is that, I think Brendan's right. I mean, it takes time to really truly develop an understanding of everything that division does. But what even I had a difficult time fully appreciating is how much gets done with such a small number of staff. I've said it before and it's just, I can't emphasize enough that these people do a lot of work. They're very efficient at what they do. It's pretty incredible to watch. I mentioned earlier, I've been tied up pretty heavily in the wastewater treatment plant transition. And, you know, everybody on the stormwater side of things they're very independent. So it's an amazing group to work with.
Oh, you're muted still, sorry.
Just as well. No, I was just going to say there's a little bit of you don't know what to ask because you don't know enough yet coming into it, you know, so it's fair if we launch into something, you know, in a meeting to ask for more information, or, you know, it might be that it gets carried over to the next meeting and we do a more full presentation with the background about it. So.
And again, I mean, that's the purpose of me jumping straight into this is our org chart. This is what these groups of people do. I frankly don't know that I necessarily quite got that background when I started on the commission. And that's the reason that was my update today, is really sort of starting to develop that understanding of at least broadly what the division does. Specifics, it'll take time, but I mean, at least now that's something to mull over during this meeting and decide, what that training looks like and what kind of presentations you guys would like from our staff. Cause they're all really, really great about being willing to give presentations. The last one was by our mapping, staff member, Henry, talking about his process of mapping stormwater facilities and inventorying them into our MMS. And
yeah, more education and backgrounds definitely on the agenda this year to incorporate. It's there was none when I started. It's good. Justin, I don't want to cut you short if you had anything else on there. I was going to move forward to our abridged staff liaison items.
Yeah, let me reshare that agenda for you. I'm going to run off real quick here for a minute.
I copied it down here too, so putting it up for everybody else to see.
There you go.
Do we have anything talking points as far as a liaison, or should I just touch on the special meeting dates here and proceed?
Yeah, I mean, we've been over, you know, think about your presenter requests. You know, that goes for regular meetings and these special meetings, which really the special meetings, for those of you who haven't been involved in the commission up to now, those special meetings are really for whatever you guys want them to be. Traditionally, there's been a field trip, but since the pandemic is continuing to rage on, that's can't make any promises on that one. I think Alice's training announcements was probably open public meetings. just a guess. If any of you haven't finished that, it's an important training to do. And yeah, I'll let Brendan rip on this. I'm going to run off for a couple of minutes and I'll be right back.
So with regard to the training announcement, I'm assuming the rest of you got the email from Alice with regard to the Open Public Meetings Act. And there should be a series of videos that you would have watched. Did the new members get that?
I had done it with Camus, so she just accepted my certificate.
So you're
right. I don't know about the rest of you.
Okay. Jeff or Bob, have you?
This is Jeff. Yes, I did receive that information. I've been through the training and got Alice the certificate.
All right. Sandra, and I assume you were already clear on that. All right.
I have the link, and then I'll send her a certificate.
Cool. Yes. Okay, so the special meeting dates, I see that Alice has March 30th and October 2nd listed as the suggested dates. Those are the two special meetings in the year, aside from our regularly every other month. I just want to check real quick if anybody has, if there's a significant group of people that have a problem with either of those dates, or if we're looking okay with those.
It was March what?
March 30th and October 5th. All right. Sounds like those are working for people. If anything changes for you, email Alice. If we get a significant amount of people that aren't able to attend one, we'll look. But it sounds like those will work for now. As Justin mentioned, if things change and we're able to do a field trip type opportunity, we'll look for doing that. I've got my fingers crossed for in-person meetings to start. So I'll take that. And then as he mentioned, presenter requests, and I would tie that with just educational material and background understandings that we'd like to get some more in depth on. Okay, so I'm going to move into the working group overview, and before I dive into the details of that real quick, and I'd like, Michelle, if you want to elaborate, I got a quick note that you had forwarded something to Alice that, on this topic that you wanted to bring up, I think, with regard to kind of missions activities and assignments. So it was your idea, if you want to explain it better than me.
Oh, okay, sure. What I was thinking is that because people will be, new folks will be wanting to get onto one or another working group, that it would be a good idea for the folks who are leading different working groups to give a little bit of an overview, sort of a show and tell, so they had new folks had some idea of what they might be able to do in each of the working groups and accomplish as well. So, for example, if I started talking about partnerships, since I've gone back to heading up partnerships again for a little bit. Originally, the objective was to identify potential partnerships for the county to work with to develop and deliver projects related to clean water and stormwater, to grow these partnerships, and to just reinforce and strengthen partnerships that the county already has. Now, the county does not by any means work in isolation. They have, as we embarked on growing out the partnerships working group, we found that there are a lot of existing strong partnerships. But sometimes each of us who are commissioners have different kinds of contacts and different kinds of perspectives. And to the extent that we can strengthen the county's relationship in these partnerships and help with any sort of nuances in those partnerships, maybe see if there are any other funding opportunities or what has been done by partners on a similar project, say in different regions, that might be helpful. Those are the kinds of things that the partnership working group might be able to do. Now, Justin was on the partnerships working group at one point in time. And, you know, I'm really interested in And maybe this will be our little working group breakout session to kick us off. But what he's seeing in terms of having both been on the working group and now being within county staff, where can we really be effective? We definitely don't want to be working at cross purposes. We want to be strengthening the opportunities for the county and getting to cleaner water in the county. And how can we best do that? So just leave it there as an example. Questions?
For my own sake, Michelle, can you remind me, because I don't have it in front of me, sorry I haven't memorized this, but who else is on partnerships currently?
Well, right now, I believe it's just Sandra and myself. And we haven't met because I wanted to do this sort of orientation so people could, you know, pick and choose.
Well, and knowing that that is kind of the part of the agenda here for getting the assignments for working groups, what I'd like to do is just kind of continue with what you just did there, giving the background for partnerships, and ask if Matt wants to do the same for outreach, and then I guess if I default for research, I can do the same there. But Matt, if you want to start.
Sure. So I think I'm still the point person for community outreach and education, at least I'm listed there as such. This group currently only has two members, myself and Marie. And I'm going to call on Marie to help me out in detailing the function of the group, because I have only been leading this group, leading the two of us, this last year during the pandemic. And of course, we haven't been able to do much community outreach and education given the public health circumstances. One thing that we have been actively working on, and we can talk about it in a little bit, Brendan, if you like me, there's not much to update, but is the possibility of salmon safe certifications for the parks. But Marie, maybe you could add something, since you were leading the group before last year.
Yeah, we started doing outreach, going to neighborhood associations, and the county had a presentation that our group kind of took in with the people on the commission. Kind of streamlined it, made it more user-friendly, and then we would give talks to different groups, you know, especially focusing on the neighborhoods that have the private stormwater facilities that really don't know what it was, so we would be, you know, helping in that respect of education. We also would be a liaison with the neighborhood association meetings of all the neighborhood associations' presidents. They have a meeting once a month. Just kind of keep our hands in that and knowing what's going on in the community. And then also doing, before Eric was hired as the outreach person, there wasn't really a person. So we would help go to the activities like Kleinline Fishing, Earth Day, and kind of have a booth and give out information. And that's kind of evolved over the past. And, of course, Eric does a wonderful job of outreach and education. So in that respect, our role wasn't as important there. It's just kind of supplementing his. So that's why we were always looking for different opportunities. And then, of course, with the COVID, it was really hard to, you know, meet in person and try to figure out, you know, how we can do the outreach virtually. And another thing the group was for, at the time when I first started, they were getting over the backlash of the clean water fees. It was when it wasn't clean waters, environmental services. So they wanted to reach out with the public and act more of a liaison and explain what the clean water fees were. So that's kind of a little history of the group and it's how it's evolved over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, thanks for adding to that, Marie. And I think, Michelle, I might be making this up, but I seem to recall in your email saying something about maybe we might want to revisit what each of the groups is tasked with, or maybe I dreamt that. I'm not sure if you said that in the email, but I'm going to bring it up if you didn't say it, because Maria, I think you did a great job of talking about the evolution, and now Eric is here doing so much work related to community outreach and education. And maybe if we want to talk about the possibility, it certainly doesn't have to be this evening, but about restructuring these groups. I know in the last year, I've always felt like I was encroaching on Michelle's territory of partnerships. I felt like dealing with Salmon Safe was more of a partnership versus outreach. So I don't know if that's however others feel, or, you know, as you all know me, I'm happy if you say, Matt, that's not a good idea right now.
I think it's... sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of overlap across all of the groups. And one of the things I've been thinking is that we may want to reorganize these working groups and their mission. But I'm not sure it's the time right now, because we have these three working groups, and we want to at least introduce the folks who are just coming onto the commission to what we have now. But I think down the road, we might want to clarify or reorganize them a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that idea and that strategy. I think it would be good to reexamine them at this point in the evolution, but also having so many new members at this point so quickly, kind of get into those spots and then have that be kind of an opening assignment, is thinking about that and how to change that a little bit for what works best for helping. I can segue with that as far as for research has kind of been in similar. When I first started working with research, we were doing a bit of an assignment for the county with regard to reviewing capital funds and different budgets and providing suggestions within that. And since then, it's become a little bit of like pick a project. And it would be good to, you know, look at like, well, what is the more functional role with that as well. As far as more background for folks, considering which group to lean towards, I'm on research myself. Josh, I believe you're with research right now as well. And we have done several different projects in the past. As I mentioned, that capital funds budget review, there have been times when the county has had a plan that kind of comes forward for the research group to look at and kind of pay a little bit more attention and a deeper dive to provide some suggestions and feedback as a commission body to the county team. We had a little bit of an interim without anything on our plate. One of the more recent projects that came up that was started off as a bit of a history research piece is the creek naming project you see on the agenda there. That's for those that aren't familiar, it's with regard to two creeks in the Lacamas watershed, the upper part of it. It's Shanghai Creek and China Ditch. These are two creeks that, if you're not familiar with the history of, were named after Chinese immigrants were hired to do the work on what's now called China Ditch at the time. If you're familiar with the history of Chinese immigrants in America in the late 1800s, not a great time. These names were given in jest. And so we had reached out to the Chinese American community and had a meeting recently with regard to looking at that history. And it started as an idea of a review of the creek naming themselves and how we wanted that type of history to be honored a little bit more representative of our values today in our community. That meeting has led to a conversation, you know, update for everybody on this, led to a conversation about looking also more at the focus of just presenting that history. Are there opportunities for, say, some type of historical plaque, some type of education publicly to kind of bring that story forward? So that's a project currently that we're involved in that came up. It's not necessarily in the purview of clean surface water, but it ended up on our radar when we had not a lot else to do with kind of a lull there in projects. So with that kind of quick background in the groups, what I want to do is turn it back to the new members with the invitation to express your interest in a group. And given that this is a volunteer body, I was trying to encourage people to do something that you think you'd be engaged in, that you'd want to participate in,
the regular meetings are this typical protocol report and hear a presentation, conversation, stuff before us. The working groups can often be where we as volunteers are engaged a lot in effort of something that we're doing and contributing. It comes back to our work on it. So if there's something that really catches your eye of an interest, and as you've heard, we're kind of looking at, well, where do we want to take these groups and where do we want to evolve them? So perhaps you have an idea in your head too that could be good with some fresh ideas in that and considering what group you'd be interested in. So in no particular order, if anybody has one that they want to speak up for, we can't have everybody in one group, but sometimes this just naturally works out to where everybody's got a favorite and we don't have to draw straws.
Well, I think as a new member, one that seemed to me to be the most likely one I would fit in be the research group, and done a lot, published a lot of research over the years. I have a background benefit that I have a minor degree in statistics. I guess knowing little or about their actual involvement in real research here, I think that's
all right. I think I lost you at the last part of that, Bob, but I caught the front end of it. So I got your name there with the research group. Jeff, do you have a particular interest?
Partnerships is probably at the top. I'm trying outreach to different groups for volunteering, and I can see some possible ties there and some things maybe we could work together on.
Excellent. Roger, do you have a fancy with any of these?
Oh, I'm the old educator on the bunch. I'd probably fit there quite well.
With outreach?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, that makes my job easier. Great. Well, yeah, I think that the idea that Matt and Michelle brought up would be really good for us this year is kind of looking at how the roles have evolved and what would work best. I know it's kind of been in the back of my mind for research as well, because while I'm a big fan of the project we're working on right now, it's just kind of, you know, evolved from what we have been doing before. So, I would encourage the groups, to schedule some meetings that they can get together virtually or in person, however people are comfortable on that, for having conversations about some brainstorming of 2022 and where you want to go with it. I think we have a pretty short list in each group of what folks are currently working on. So obviously energies towards whatever we already have in front of us, but coming up with some new stuff and some new strategies would be great. And, I know lots of times this ends up, you know, being wishful thinking and we go meeting to meeting, struggle with getting together, but encourage everybody to try to make something happen before our next meeting that we have in March. So you got a little while there, at least
Brendan?
A full month. Yeah.
I'd like to ask Justin, I know it was always helpful when Dean was there to see what your division goals might need some help with, so if he could give your opinions or suggestions of some projects that we might be helpful for you.
Yeah, I know Jeff is revisiting his work plans for the year, and we're going to be finalizing those to kind of get an understanding of what we want to accomplish this year. As far as longer term goals, there's two things that we're really trying to get to. One is that I know it's been raised before is the 20-year planning effort. There are a lot of pieces that are going to be going into that, that we're going to try to start with the capacity that we have, while we're trying to build capacity in the group to do more. The starting point there is actually, we're going to start on a life cycle analysis on the facilities that we do have. In part, that's going to be a GIS exercise, but, you know, that's going to be there's going to be a big finance and economics piece to that. So for those of you with finance and economics backgrounds, that'll be a fun one. And then we're kind of driving towards a pipe inspection program. Those are both in relatively early stages of their developments. I think the 20-year planning effort's kind of outlined. What kind of interesting elements are there that we can incorporate into that? Like I said, I mean, there's some knowns there. We'd really like to look at facility life cycle and maintenance costs so that we can understand long-term, what we'll be spending, and that'll kind of inform budget development and future fee studies and things like that. But aside from that, you know, there's a big opportunity, I think, to start pulling in environmental justice, which isn't, it's not addressed in the 6-year plan, because the 6-year plan is truly just a capital plan. What other elements can go into that 20-year plan that would be useful and interesting, as really a true tool for long-term planning? I know Jeff likes using the terms, that's the menu, and, the 6-year plan is the meal. So that's sort of the high level of it. And again, I mean, the pipe inspection program is something that's also going to get probably tied into that 20-year planning effort. So I know a lot of the focus, aside from just short term, like these are the projects that we want to get done, these are the monitoring tasks that we have to do, is, those longer term planning efforts.
Yeah, Michelle.
So, I have a question for you. You were at one point very interested in tracking culvert replacement, culvert issues. Is the county working with those at all?
Those are a funny thing.
Or are they more transportation related?
They end up more tied to transportation, and that's mostly just because the transportation projects, they're a consequence of transportation projects for the most part at the moment. Reason being, I mean, we have our transportation improvement plan. Culverts generally overlap with the roads. When a road touches a culvert, Fish and Wildlife's policy is that it has to be brought to fish passage standards. Unfortunately, our NPDES municipal stormwater permit doesn't really address culverts all that well. It seems to me to be kind of an interesting gap. That wouldn't stop us from looking at, you know, GIS layers of where there are deficient culverts and looking at where those might overlap with restoration projects, which is where those culverts kind of loop into our projects. Culverts and crossings.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Could I ask a political question? How does the county, when they're working with stormwater and they're working with culverts and all the rest of these things, how does the county interact with the municipalities that we're dealing with?
Well, jurisdictionally, I mean, the culverts and everything and the MS4 and the storm systems that we deal with are generally within Clark County's jurisdiction. Other municipalities have their own permits that they have requirements that they need to meet in their own rights of way that have their own culverts and such in them. So, I mean, where we do end up overlapping some is, an interesting example actually is First Street. The improvements there that City of Vancouver is undertaking actually affect a county stormwater facility. And, when it hits that point, it's really about identifying the right staff to talk to and finding the right avenue to find a solution for it. In that case, the facility was going to get, essentially just buried, and the city was going to provide, a facility, essentially equivalent capacity in a new facility. That plan changed a bit, and we're still in the middle of working out an agreement with the City of Vancouver. What it generally comes down to when there's overlap between jurisdictions is, often there's either a change of hands in property ownership or, an ILA or an interlocal agreement governing, future maintenance of that facility and responsibility for it.
That actually helps.
I'm glad we have that example of First Street, because it's the first thing that popped into my mind. I'm sure the mall area annexation was an interesting process that predates my time, I think, even living here, but that was the last annexation that happened. And, that has interesting effects on, obviously road ownership, right of way ownership, MS4 ownership, and, even stormwater fees, because suddenly that whole area wasn't part of our stormwater fee assessment for the county itself. It was City of Vancouver instead.
MS4?
Municipal separate storm sewer system.
Very well.
Sorry, these abbreviations. Gotcha. Yeah.
Just circling back real quick for an item on the working groups, I wanted to double check. I had a note here for group leaders, and I just want to check on that. Matt, are you still sitting in the leadership position for outreach? Are you wanting to?
I'm open. I'm open. I'm happy to continue doing it, but I'm also happy if somebody else wants a go at it.
Marie, are you eager to take that on, or are you good where you're at?
Yeah, because Matt is vice chair, if you'd rather I head the committee, as Roger's learning.
It's totally up to you, Marie. I'd be perfectly happy to hand it over. I'd be perfectly happy to keep it. Your choice.
I'll go ahead.
Great.
Take it over.
Give all of us a title.
Yeah. Put titles around.
During the
Michelle, how are you feeling with partnerships? Do you want to saddle Sandra already with being the lead on that?
No, I just don't think it's fair. So I'm willing to do it for this next year. Let's get it kicked off into whatever it's going to be. Give people, some sense of what it could be. And then maybe people will be getting into a reorganization kind of thing. But I'm fine doing it this next year.
I appreciate that very much. I'll learn from
that. I think your leadership will be good too on kind of this process of reexamining all the groups. Josh, do you feel like taking the lead on research for us?
At some point, I feel like it said he dropped from the meeting. I don't know if he made it. Oh, it looks like he's in again.
I feel like there's usually a delay on his audio.
I'm back in, but my internet's really choppy. What was, I'm only getting every third word, I think.
Sorry, I was checking if you felt like taking the leadership of the research group.
Brendan, you're so kind. You didn't just ask him to say yes.
Yeah, I can do that.
I was going to say, we volunteered you to be chair of the
group. Yeah. Brendan, if you can hear me, I can do that, and if you would be so kind as to email me the names of the other folks on research, then I'll try to organize it.
I will, yeah. We'll plan a meeting soon. I can touch base. It'd be great. All right. Well, thank you all for that. So we got that official there. By the way, Justin, I'm taking notes, and I'll try to type up what I have and send it over sometime tomorrow, so you got that.
That's why my recorder app actually has a transcript feature. I'm going to see how that works. Very curious.
None of that. Good deal. I had two other items that kind of follow from this, but I want to give pause if there was any more on the topic right now for the working groups that anybody wanted to touch on.
I'll just give my two cents and say that I can, for my part at least, I can... maybe at the next staff meeting, just ask around and see if anybody has any ideas for, if they need help with anything where the commission might be able to step in and offer assistance, especially after they've started giving presentations and developing that training and understanding that you were talking about earlier.
Excellent. Thank you. I was going to share, too, a memory I have from a little metaphor that was presented to us early on from one of our past managers, Dean, which is, you know, I think it's great to be ambitious with what we're trying to do. We want to always be mindful that what we're doing as a body is helpful to the team over at Clean Water, you know, as a partnership with them. That's our primary partnership as a commission. But Dean had a little image that he put up on the board for us one day that was a tortoise with the hare riding on the back. And the metaphorical idea that, like, we're the hare, and we can be really quick with ideas and where we see things, potentials happening. But in this environment, we're riding on the back of a tortoise, being the county. And so we can, all of our ideas are still beholden to the speed of the tortoise. So just something to bear in mind when you're thinking of stuff that we can add to the...
I still have that image of that slide in my head. So, I mean, at some point, I'll put together a PowerPoint presentation that includes that image for everybody's sake.
It was effective.
It could be on every slide, a little emblem and one location. I have a question before we go on about working groups. I wonder if there'd be any advantage to setting up a fourth working group right now. And that would be the group that puts together the training package. And the reason I think that might be valuable now is while we have new people, it would be good to have one or two new people in on that group, you know, rolling up their sleeves and say, well, you know, this is something I think it would really help to know about, or that was a great presentation, but I still have these questions and so forth. So I'm not volunteering to head it up, but because I'm doing partners, at least initially, but I'm wondering if we could do something, or maybe that's something that the vice, chair heads up, and people volunteer for.
Michelle, that's a super idea. And being able to lay out that training package would help all of us to really understand what's going on and who's doing what and what the projects are and what the limits of where we can go are. Because that's a question that those limits, I mean, you brought up the tortoise and the hare. That's really a very mindful image when it comes to the training, because most of this, you know, from the private sector or academics, want to get things done now, and governments don't move that way. So putting that package together is really cool.
And that was the educational piece was the one of the two items I was going to get into next. So it's a perfect segue on that, Michelle. I know it was something that has been in some of our conversations, been in my mind. And Roger, you mentioned it during your interview. At least I put a note in there, was the idea of the training packet. And I don't know if you mentioned it or if it's what triggered in my head was not only these, you know, political and logistical limitations, this background of the structure and the rules of what's going on in the county, but also, too, in my mind, some type of introduction on the on-the-ground ecology. Like, one part for myself working in natural systems a lot is there's a lot of these jurisdictions and permits and overlaps, but, like, what we're talking about is a natural system. You know, the watersheds have their own jurisdictions. They have their own function. Something kind of like our stream health report, you know, being modified into part of that training package that every new member came into as seen. So that was exactly on my list as well. I don't know where the thought, you know, if we want to think about that, the potential of a fourth group, or if it's something that's kind of split up as tasks among our existing groups. I don't know what the thought is on that. I like the idea of a fourth group. I hadn't considered that. So I don't know if that's on the floor for conversation, what folks think.
You know, the other thing that could inform that training package is if part of it is, you know, an orientation presentation or something like that. We do have a lot of past presentations by staff sitting around that have slides that I'm sure could be used and adapted. And I'm sure Alice would be willing to help pull those together. And you know, I mean, even just repurpose some, to be, I don't know, maybe not broader, but more targeted at building an understanding of what the group does.
Instead of a working group that would work, you know, all year long or all for 2 years, why not just put it, give it a sunset period of from now till March, so you can put that packet together and use it, and then it would be available for everybody. And then maybe in the following year, if we hit more people, you'd run it again. But I wouldn't think there would be a need to keep it going all year long.
I think what might help is having maybe Alice and I put our heads together and start kind of an outline, a slideshow that outlines sort of the groups in Clean Water and what they do, their work products, and then maybe provide that to at least some subset of you guys. Maybe not a working group, but like Roger's saying, but for feedback on, hey, these are our questions, you know, this is where we want to see more detail, things like that. Just a thought, at least that starts at a staff level on here's what we do. Like, what do you want to know more about? And I have an idea of some of that from the questions that you've already asked me.
But I don't want to give a different working group than I'm in assignment here, but I'm wondering if outreach were kind of outlining this educational piece for us internally, partly because I think that you could get pieces out of this that can be used in other outreach efforts and other pieces that we could use in communications with groups, you know, particularly if you're talking about something that's like a watershed background or a structure of how the county works on different things. We can use that as a tool when we're doing outreach as well. But if outreach wanted to start creating that outline and could then also be pushing assignments from outreach's brainstorming over to groups like research and say, hey, research, can you go find this information, pull these things together for us, and maybe kind of work as a across the groups and putting that together?
Okay. I think as Roger's interest would be good as far as giving us the input of what he felt he needed to do this job successful is a good insight. I also am aware of all the presentations that have been done, and if we could just put that on, like, I think mostly they're in the minutes where I have copies of the handouts. I can start compiling those and do an outline. I think that'd be a good idea, so we can meet within our group and come up with a plan for next meeting.
Cool.
Good, Roger?
Yep.
Okay. Matt? Can't see you.
That's a yes.
Okay. There you are.
Sorry.
Small screen, so everyone gets cut out.
Yeah, and I had trouble finding my cursor to hit the mute button.
Okay. And then I would say just feel free to throw assignments around to the other two groups as needed, as you guys are coming up with that outline, if there's things that, you know, research team can start pulling together too for that. And
I think getting the outline together and with Alice and Justin and just kind of seeing what we have and seeing if that's what other people are thinking as well. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I think this effort could have some longevity. I think Brendan's right. I mean, even when Michelle and I started, aside from the presentation that Dean gave and the little orientation that we got from Alice, you know, pre-pandemic, it really was some meetings just sitting there going, okay, this is what's going on. I'm starting to piece this together. Skipping that phase would have, I could see how that would help you jump in a little bit more quickly.
The other thing that I have had on my list today that I wanted to bring up, and this is another piece we could think with the working groups, come up with an idea on, is a new, well, one review of our interview question system that we have. We have a current, you know, template of interview questions and a metric that we use for reviewing resumes that could be revisited. But I think more importantly, a examination of our recruitment strategies. And, we really want to look at how our broadcasting of whenever we've needed a new commission member, how that's going out, what communities that's reaching, and how to diversify that to a broader audience of the whole community and make sure that we're getting, you know, better representation of the community. It seems like there's been, it kind of falls under narrow scopes, and even so much so that I have folks that I know that normally are paying attention to, you know, the wavelengths on stuff like this that had no idea that there was an opening that came out. So I really want to look at that again and cast a broader net, for getting different members of the community, you know, interested in signing up and becoming future members of the commission with us. So, that is on my kind of future to-do list here, my 2022 wish list here. I think we talked about it a little bit at the end of the last interview committee. I know Matt and Michelle and Justin and I, we had part of that conversation, but I'll be trying to think about that a little bit more. If any other folks have comments or ideas on that at this point where we're trying to think about a strategy for it.
It seems to me as though there's an opportunity both from the partnership and outreach standpoint for people to think about it, because there are partners out there who could help us spread the word out. And so, you know, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more in our kickoff meeting. See where that leads.
Right. Well, that, folks, is the total list of notes. So let's see, what do we got here? Sorry, that thing scrolled down farther. Unfinished business. The annual report, I see approval slated for March meeting, but I have not seen a draft of it despite requesting. So I had emailed Alice that I want to wait until that has been worked on, whenever that is.
Yeah, she really wanted to have it done tonight. But some issues with moving and now, you know, this morning her neck, it's, yeah, it's been tough to get it done.
I could send another email. You have an opportunity to remind her as well. I've requested a couple of times to see the draft, and participate in it, you know, ahead of time. So I can forewarn you that if it's the first time I'm seeing it, I probably won't approve it the same night.
No, nobody can blame you there.
Well, normally we all get to take a look at it before we get, you know, at least several days before the meeting, and hopefully a week or two. So, and I think it would behoove us to allow that time. So,
with year end closeout being done this week, this Friday, just gut feeling it'll become a priority.
Well, and also in the past, we participated in drafting it. And so that's another, you know, if it had been kicked over, it could help get that a little bit further along for us. There's a note here with the DEI. I know Alice has, you know, mentioned this, kind of incorporating it into the mission. That's kind of tied into my earlier statement there of like our recruitment strategies. I'd like to revisit that.
DEI?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Gotcha.
Okay, any new business or general discussion?
I have a question. Do the new people have their commission emails set up? Yes.
I do. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, we'll communicate that way through the groups and just make sure that you check that. At least once a week is helpful.
Yeah, I asked by chat for Justin to see if we could get the commissioner directory, which I don't think we've had for a couple of years.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Scheduling meetings.
I haven't been seeing the chat because I was sharing my screen. Contact information. Along with the annual report, I'll touch bases with Alice as soon as she's you know, back to full steam ahead, and see if we can incorporate the new contact information and get that that contact directory out to everybody.
All right. Well, not seeing any other further discussion. Justin, thank you very much for helping make it happen this evening on short notice there.
Yeah, we didn't want to delay the meeting again, so.
Appreciate that. It was good we were able to get some stuff done today, so that was fantastic. I know it always feels like a little bit of a restart, and for everybody, you know, at the same time, like, hey, what the heck is going on here? But I'm really happy to see a lot of new folks and new energy and ideas, and I think it'll be a good year moving forward. So thank you all today. It was a lot of brainstorming around that, and encourage the working groups to try to schedule a meeting sooner than later. And see you guys again in March. Howdy.
Howdy. Bye.
Thank you all. Good to be on. Stay safe. Bye-bye.